Black Bloods, welcome back to the Outpost After Show. Tonight, we are breaking down Episode 3, The Mistress and the Worm. A new friendship is blossoming, and Detective Janzo is on the case, so stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here for Episode 3. Your host, Veronica Valencia, and to my left, Taran is here as well.
I'm here.
He is. Mina, who was with us for the first episode, is not here. She will, however, be back next week. We are so excited to have you back, Mina. So, before we get into the show today, we're going to be talking about all things Garrett and Janzo and the detective work with the Plaguelings. We're going to talk about the new friendship between Gwyn and Talon, but also coming up in the show, Taran actually had the opportunity to talk to some of the cast at Comic-Con this past weekend, so we're going to get some little snippets there, as well as some special fan shout-outs. But before we get into any of that, Taran, what did you think of the show overall?
I thought it was way more fun. It was a fun show. It was good. I enjoyed myself.
I thought it was a little bit more playful this time around, at least in terms of definitely a big bulk, which was the Gwyn and Talon friendship starting to blossom. So I think actually that's a great segue. We should just go right into that. So basically, as we saw last episode, Gwyn saved Talon by essentially like bonding herself to her. Like they are considered one element. And then we obviously see Garrett tell Talon, you know, like, this is a bigger deal than you think because, you know, if you go down, Gwyn goes down with you. And obviously he cares about Gwyn, so he doesn't want anything like that to happen. And I think Talon, for the first time, kind of sees, well, not the first time, she's starting to warm up to it. But this is also a moment where she's starting to see, like, wow, this girl really did go out on a limb for me. And we kind of see the dynamic of, oh, she's starting to trust people. She's starting to, like, have better friendships with people. And I'm really enjoying that as well. But would you say like you're liking this friendship blooming so far?
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like it too because obviously Talon gets invited to go with Gwyn and she lets her have a bath and puts her in some nice clothes. And it's fun because you can tell Talon is not used to luxury at all in any sense of the word. Like she's been traveling for years. And so there's just absolutely no form of luxury with her. And she's just kind of relaxing. And again, it's this idea of the two girls, like, I like their relationship. I like that it's two girls, like, coming together, you know? Because as Gwyn says, you know, like, we're what each other needs. I'm the brain, you're the brawn.
Well, they're quickly becoming Thelma and Louise.
Basically, like, they're totally opposites. It's very obvious that they're opposites.
Well, it's not just that they're opposites. It's also that I don't think Talon's used to having any friends, let alone girlfriends.
No.
So, most, especially considering the time and the place and the world that this entire mythology takes place, we're seeing, obviously, that the women aren't made up of the fighters, right? Mm-hmm. And since Talon has such a fighting acumen, it's fair to assume that she was taught by ferocious men. And that's the closest that she's had to friends.
I think Gwyn is in the exact same boat because she's been surrounded in this class system her entire life. You know, she's around soldiers, who her father is. And, you know, she also doesn't have many girlfriends, too, because as we see, a lot of the women she is around are like servants. So I think Gwyn is in the exact same place. So it's really great that they both get this chance to, like, connect with another woman. And it's definitely, like, a growing experience for the both of them.
Yeah, they just, I mean, it's a friendship out of necessity, out of whatever type of feigned loyalty, and hopefully it does blossom into this beautiful flower.
It does. I think it will. I think it's going to continue because Gwyn, I feel, is already, like, very attached to Talon. And it honestly, as I said, it might be because she sees Talon as a friend, like maybe one of the first women who didn't have to serve her. We haven't really been introduced much to Gwyn's world or people she considers friends, if she even has friends, or, you know.
Well, I don't know if Gwen has any friends, because she's also at this outpost, and it doesn't even seem that there are that many people her own age in the place, which is why it might explain why her and Garrett found each other in the first place.
She does feel very out of place, because as I mentioned, like, everyone around her is, you know, working for the government, and then there are people below her, and, you know, she doesn't seem like maybe she wants to dive down that low. So,
well, she can't trust them because it's like they want something from her. But Talon's the only person who actually doesn't want something from her, even though she needed something from her.
Oh, yeah. No, Talon doesn't want anything from her. And I think Gwen is attracted to that because there's this girl coming from completely outside who she thinks saved her. And I mean, she did, but that was not her intention. So then while Talon is bathing, Gwen makes a comment of like, are you going to leave the outpost? Because I hope that you don't. But if you think about it, Talon does need to leave the outpost. Her entire journey is based on finding these seven mercenaries with the tattoos. And, you know, they're all out there. It just so happened that the one Toru Magmore was in the outpost. So it would make sense for her to leave, right? At some point?
No, it seems like everyone's coming to her. So why would she ever need to leave? Everyone's coming to where Talon is. They're finding her.
Well, yeah, now they're definitely finding her because the message is out that one is left. So I agree with you that they're most likely going to go to her now because they have to put an end to it before anything comes out of it.
Sure, but I don't know if Talon has anywhere to go. If she did leave, what is the next destination? She has no clues. So the only clues that she has remain at the outpost, and she's doing a very good job of centering herself there and obviously making friends. That's nice. Good for you, Talon. Yeah. She smells like lavender and clementine.
She does. She definitely does, because she took a bath. The first bath in God knows how long.
Well, ever. It's the first bath she's ever taken, right? So that's the concept.
It seems like it. Definitely.
Like a bath, not just a wash, a bath.
Most definitely.
Because she seemed very uncomfortable and like wasn't actually aware of what to do or not to do. It's the first time. It's her first bath.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't raised with her family. We don't know about her upbringing. So it's safe to assume the way she reacted to it and how unimpressed and super impressed she was. She tried to downplay it as if it wasn't everything, mm-hmm. but it was. She felt special. Even when the Smith brought it up, she felt special about it.
Yeah, of course.
She tried to say it nonchalantly, but she, like...
And it was an over-the-top bath, too. Like, there were rose petals. A woman came in to, I guess, wash her, like, massage her, and she got freaked out.
How's
like,
that over-the-top? That's how I take baths all the time. So
that's how everyone should take baths all the time.
Rose petals and women that come in and try to wash me. It's great. Yeah.
So let's get into Garrett and Janzo's investigation. So as we saw last week, that man that turned out to be Kel, which was one of Garrett's real friends, was a plagueling. And it's
turned into a plagueling. He wasn't a plagueling, and we're thinking it's the Calypsum that did it.
It was actually, in going back and watching, it was actually, he got, like, bit.
And then he came.
Yeah.
But at the time, because he, like, took the sniff, we were like, and we weren't sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
They left it up for interpretation.
Yeah, they definitely made it seem like it could be both.
Yeah, especially because Talon had taken a bump, too. So we're like, uh-oh, does this mean Talon's infected?
Yeah,
Find out more.
It's true, but you could also, like, say, she's a black blood. Maybe nothing affects her, in all honesty, because she's so special. But, you know, poor Garrett has to Talon killed Kel, but Garrett saw it, so that was very upsetting for him. And they basically both take the dead plagueling body to Janzo's, like, little basement of concoctions. And this is so, this was fun just because Janzo is a brewer. He wants to make ale. He just wants to, like, have his own little place to go. But he's also the closest thing to a scientist the outpost has. So Garrett is like, hey, you're going to help me figure out the plaguelings and how everyone is becoming infected. And Janzo's like, no. Like, why me? Like, you should know more about this. Which is true. You know, Garrett, you would think Garrett would have more knowledge just because he's out and about.
But he's a soldier. He's not a scientist. And as we've seen, Janzo does have some scientific acumen. He's very knowledgeable about certain things. So I wouldn't think that the soldier would know. The soldier would know how to kill it, but to dissect it, I think Janzo is the perfect person.
That's true. Janzo is the perfect person to get the knowledge and to do the experiments, but I think based on everything Garrett has seen, because he's gone out and about, he could provide more information or pick up more tidbits of information along the way.
He just kills him. He just exterminates.
He's just like, dead.
He just exterminates the bugs. He doesn't study the bugs.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was very fun too, because it was a moment where Janzo felt validated, because Talon was kind of like, yeah, you know, you can do it kind of thing. And he was like, ooh, yeah, you're right. And he probably in that moment, or at least I got the impression in that moment, he felt a little bit more better than Garrett. Like, he was more necessary.
Well, he felt empowered.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Janzo isn't used to feeling smart, right? They've been putting him down. He's kind of like the outpost idiot, the village idiot, everyone kind of, and they don't recognize the skills that he has. We even see that later when the barkeep owner, and Janzo's doing something and tastes a bit of the coat from the worm, tastes that thing from the worm, and like automatically knows exactly what it is, and it's a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And the tavern owner is just like, oh, like basically dismisses it, because that's what people do to Janzo's. They dismiss it. So of course he feels good.
Yeah, and definitely as we saw last week and even some of this week, he's supposedly like the adoptive son of this mistress, of this mama, as they...
The mom.
He's basically the adoptive son of like two other people, and so they don't treat him with respect at all. Like, they
he's the weakling. He's not they're kind of like muscle guys, and then he's, you know, the sensitive one, the smart one, even though they think he's stupid, these kind of things. So
I'm interested because of your point there that he is the weakling and the other two kind of go out and do the dirty work or like do the fetching and stuff like that. And so I'm kind of wondering what this mama was thinking of bringing in Janzo. Like, what could I benefit from him? What can he do for me?
I mean, as of right now, it looks like free labor. That's what it really kind of looks like.
Just do this stuff for me. And he doesn't fight back. He doesn't ask questions. He doesn't fight back. He's just kind of there for whatever else needs to be done.
My kind of guy.
Yeah. And but going off of Mama and getting into her a little bit, so she is in business with the worm, who basically kind of, you know, dismembers one of her sons, I'm pretty sure that's who it was, and sends them a very grim message that's basically like, don't mess with me. And so this kind of...
He's way more ruthless than I thought. The worm, it kind of sounds, oh, he's like slimy, but he's very ruthless.
See, I thought last week they might have been more in a partnership, but it seems like now they're fighting.
A rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, she instigated the rivalry. He's the main plug, and she wants to run off on the plug, so... That's that'll instantly create conflict.
Yeah, and she definitely wants her hands on all the Calypsum that she can possibly get.
Because
she's power hungry. She wants, you know, control.
Yeah, she points at the map and says, I want the world. Or at least a good part of it.
Yeah.
Like somewhere nice, but somewhere good. She wants to be more than what she is.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of more, we have way more content that Tehran can definitely tell you about.
Hey, AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality, TV, sci-fi, and more, there is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of talk radio.
And I know that we talk a lot about YouTube, and a good chunk of you have been watching us on YouTube, so thank you for that. But we also never forget about you who listen to us on iTunes. So in addition to following us, subscribing, and watching our show on YouTube, or if you can't do that, be sure to head over to iTunes, leave us a review, and give us a rating. And you know, you never know. Like, we will give you a shout-out on air, because we definitely remember you and we see you. So YouTube, iTunes, we're there. Go. Do your thing. Be merry. All right. So let's get into, we kind of also saw towards the end, again, this weird relationship between Withers and Garrett. And basically how, you know, Withers is trying to get Talon out of the outpost. Everyone's trying to get Talon out of the outpost. Garrett is trying to get Talon out of the outpost because he doesn't want anything bad to happen to Gwen, which I understand.
Well, not everyone. Gwen wants Talon to stay.
Gwen wants Talon to stay because she wants girl companionship. But yeah, Garrett was like, hey, you could probably leave now. And I thought that made sense because he, you know, he went out on a limb for Talon, and not that what she did in the last episode he felt was wrong, but he just realizes that the longer she stays, the more trouble it can put specifically Gwen into.
Sure, but it also wants to protect Talon.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has a soft spot for Talon, and he doesn't really want her to leave. He just wants her to leave because he thinks it's best for her and everyone involved. And everyone wants Talon gone because she's the X factor. There was a dynamic that was going on in the outpost for a long time, and everyone kind of knew their role and played their part. And now comes in someone and just messing it all up. And we don't know what's next, and we don't know who's who, and who's going to win anymore, or who's going to lose. And that's something that's just, especially, it would be the same way in any small town. If you go to a small town, the new person will be the scapegoat, the new person will be the person to blame, and also adds a new dynamic to the fold. And that's what Talon's doing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Garrett even makes a comment like, if you screw up, the Prime Order's going to come. That's going to put Gwen in danger, and they're going to start investigating.
Yes.
But it raises the question, like, what does the Prime Order have against Gwen? Like, we can see why they would have a problem with Talon, not even just so much based on the fact that, you know, she's the last remaining Black Blood, but also the fact that she's not causing, but she's at the center of all this trauma.
She's
that
at
has
the
been
center.
Brought
she's,
up.
She happens to be in the middle of a lot of trouble, whether it's because of her or not. She happens to always be there.
Yeah. And so that just puts her in a tough situation, which in turn puts Gwen in a tough situation. But again, like, I was sitting there and I'm like, but why would they want Gwen? Which, you know, raises me to kind of think, like, is there something in the going on behind the scenes that Gwen doesn't realize, like she's a secret weapon of some sort? I don't know.
I mean, there is something, because even Withers is trying to investigate and find out what Gwen's little secret is, and we all want to know what it is, and there has to be something more to Gwen's dynamic and who she is and what she represents, whether it's she's promised to someone, whether it's the Prime Order has a habit of taking women of her stature out of the outposts, something of that nature. Something has to happen. They marry them off to their higher ups, and she doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. She was promised to someone, and she ditched out on it. Something.
Mm-hmm. See, I remember in the last episode, obviously, that the government within the outpost and Withers, they all want to take down the Prime Order, basically. And so that might be an extra reason why Gwen's father wants to take him down, because maybe he does realize that his daughter is in danger and he doesn't want anything to happen to her.
Possibly, because we do see that he's very protective of his daughter, that he's obviously, even Gwen says, oh, daughters have a way of manipulating their dads, and brings that up. So possibly that's a great theory. Also, we find out that the general was the reason that the outpost got taken over in the first place, and he, in a way, betrayed his king, whoever the previous ruler of the outpost was, and got his position. So it's just interesting. They're calling him the betrayer, and I thought that was, like, definitely a storyline we need to follow up on.
And again, it brings in that interesting relationship between Withers and Garrett, where Withers is very much like, this is wrong, this is evil, this goes against law, this goes against rule, and Garrett's like, he's a very noble man, you know?
Well, there's an interesting dynamic. Like, Garrett has daddy issues, to say the least. So his real father isn't the man he wants him to be, even though he secretly is. And then his general father, who is the person he's like, well, he's my commanding officer, he controls me, but also seems to have helped him out throughout his career, is the man who he thinks he wants as a father, but I'm going to bet that underlying he's not. And it's interesting because we do see Withers actually really does even though he's very harsh about it, in this interaction, I saw much more loving and fatherly, and he was concerned for Garrett and what could happen, and to not trust this guy because he is the betrayer. He just doesn't do it enough.
We actually did get a little hint as to Garrett's upbringing, at least who his parents were. I didn't quite catch all of it, but he said something like...
A washmaid and a watchman.
Yeah. And, you know, you can tell
like
that...
Chambermaid. That was interesting, too. That's his mom.
You could tell that bothers him because he doesn't fit in.
Well, he's a commoner. He does fit in. He just doesn't fit into Gwen's life. He's a commoner, and she's of noble breed.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he doesn't fit in really into any of their lives.
I think he's a commoner, but he wants to be more, and he doesn't fit in because he doesn't want to be a commoner anymore. Easier if he had followed his father's footsteps and path, but he didn't. He did the one thing his father forbid him to do, which is go become a soldier. Mm-hmm. And it's become a life for him, and he is a high rank. He's high, outranking his own father. He's a captain. But he feels very much in that in-between place.
Yeah.
Where he's not a noble, but he's not a commoner. So what do you do?
And
Talon!
No, okay. And I was going to say, I wonder if a part of Withers didn't want him to become a soldier to protect him from like the politics, or to protect him from feeling not worthy because he does have a past and he knew that would affect him later on in the future.
I don't think he thought that through. I think it's more of the guy at the bar stool just kind of wants you to keep sitting there at the bar drinking with him, because once you go out that door and make something of yourself, then he has to reflect on himself. So Garrett brings that up often. It's like, it kills you. I became a soldier. You didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the one thing you didn't want me to do. Maybe the father wasn't as brave to do it. Maybe he wasn't in the right mindset to do it. Maybe he's a denier, where he thinks that he won't be able to make it, so he doesn't even try. And then Garrett went out and succeeded at 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he's definitely, he's picking it up. He's doing his job.
He's a captain. Mm. Well, he's not doing his job because there was a plagueling inside, but he's still a captain.
There was a plagueling inside, but also at the same time, I guess, like, I don't know, should Kel have known? Like, don't they know that that's how it spreads? I guess not. That's what Janzo's trying to find out.
Look, for some reason, when people are sick, if you ever watch these zombie movies or whatever, they always, like, once they get infected, they always try to infect everyone else by just denying, as if I pretend if I'm not affected, I won't become infected. It's funny. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thing that happens. Yeah. It's a common storyline that plays out.
Let's talk about Talon and the Lucari she summoned last episode that's still roaming the outpost.
The demon killing people. It killed someone.
Yeah, it killed a woman.
Only
and,
one? No.
Well, no, that is kind of surprising, because the Smith makes out them to be monsters and ferocious beasts that come from this very terrible land. So it is kind of surprising that in the time that Talon lost it, that it only has killed one person and, like, not even caused trouble or, like tried to chase other people or something. I found that kind of interesting, that it was somehow calm until this point. And so, yeah, they think it's a Grayskin. And once again, you know, the woman sadly ends up dead under Talon's window. So Withers is like, you're causing trouble again, and wants her to leave the outpost, as most people do at this point. But then she goes to the Smith to try and figure out, okay, what do I have to do? How do I control this? And again, he keeps talking in circles. Like, he will not give her a clear answer.
Well, I think he's trying to get her on the right mindset. So he does actually give her the answer that she has to specifically, without doubt, tell the demon to go back to its place of ash and whatever the other thing was. But he wants her, it's not just giving you the answer. Like any good teacher, he wants her to get to the answer on her own. And he wants to Obi-Wan Kenobi her, where she learns the lesson by going through the lesson and not just being told.
I agree, but at the same time, like, Talon, I understand Talon's frustration, because she still doesn't really know who this guy is. He still hasn't really told her, you know, what happened and why he's so interested in helping her, or how he even knows any of this. And then, so she barely knows anything about him.
Sure.
And now he's helping her, but in a way that's not clear to her, because she didn't grow up, you know, knowing about Black Blood. She, sure. She didn't grow up knowing about what she is. So the fact that, you know, he's like, tell it to leave. You control it and get in this right mindset. She's like, but what is that? I've never
But
known
faith
that.
Is one of the biggest deciphers of a lesson, right? Is learning faith. Learning to just know. Not to, if you're told, then it's not as real. So it's to believe it yourself, to just have faith, to have total autonomy that this person is the person. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step. It's almost as if the teacher needs to break you. He or she doesn't want to earn you. And that plays its part out, especially in a lot of mythology, where it's the truth needs no belief.
Mm-hmm. And he basically, in not exactly these words, but basically says, like, stop overthinking it.
Exactly, and she does. She overthinks it.
Well, I mean, you kind of would if, you know, you summon a demon, you think, and the way to summon the demon was this kind of, like,
incantation.
Different incantation in a language that she doesn't understand. You would think if, you know, it takes that to summon it, it would be a little bit more to bring it back.
But the demon listens to you. It hates you, it doesn't want to, but it's forced to listen to you as long as you do it without fear or doubt, as the Smith puts it. And he told her what she needs to say, but he also told her how she needs to do it. And the one thing is, Talon's not really good at following directions. Mm-hmm. She's a rebel without a cause, and the cause that she's decided to take up is one of revenge, and it plays a different aspect in her. So she might want to sit there and listen to the Smith, but you know what? She keeps going back to him, so she finds some validity in what he's saying. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think next episode we're going to see her try and, you know, get in that mindset and officially bring it back, and then he'll be able to, like, move on and hopefully get a little bit more information on
his
backstory.
She has to deserve it, too. She has to earn it. Mm-hmm. That's one thing a lot of people don't realize. You have to earn it.
I guess we will see in the next episode. Going off of that, so, Tehran, you were telling me earlier how you actually met up with some of the actors at Comic-Con.
With the cast. They were there. Had a really good time hanging out. Jake is a great, awesome person. I got to learn a lot more about him. He's always obviously been one of my favorite parts of the show, but he's also now one of my favorite parts of their cast and just as a person. And Jessica, the whole crew, they were just a lovely bunch of people.
I had seen on Twitter that they were attending Comic-Con, and I thought that was actually really, really great for them because the show, it's a summer show. A lot of, you know, shows that air during the summertime kind of get ignored because they're not during the normal season. And I felt like this was a really good opportunity to go to an outlet that's all about this fantasy and mythology and action and these types of characters and this type of genre to go and get publicity to kind of cater to fans who are watching the show and for people to get introduced to the show, because Comic-Con is obviously one of those experiences where you can go and get into something new like that. So I thought this was a great opportunity for them to just get a little bit, to get their show out there a little bit more.
Well, CW, they didn't have their own panel, but CW had some of the most fantastic panels because of the programs that they do have, especially their WB programming and things like that. So people were paying attention to the CW panels, and they hopped on to the panels, and they did very, very well. And I would be very surprised if this isn't their highest rated show. And actually, the ratings are doing better than what CW had anticipated. So as long as these ratings stay where they are, maybe we're going to get a second season out of this.
I think
that's
that,
hopefully.
Yeah. And
that's
what's
hopeful.
And I think that's something good to say, especially because, like, you know, the pilot is hard. It's hard to get a grasp of a story from a pilot, and even the second episode. So now, as it's, you know, on the third episode, and it's going to continue to go through this first season, we're going to get a little bit more information. We're going to get to know more about this world and this character. So there's just more story to tell that will get people interested, I feel. But no, I'm really glad. And are they? Like, are they from... Because I know Jessica, who plays Talon, is from Australia.
Well, Jake's actually American. Jake's American, and he's very good. And I mean, it's just interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. And, of course, the show was shot in Utah, and it's just Very cool.
Did they say if they were currently in Utah or if they're like LA natives now?
No, they're all over the place. So they're all in different places. They're here hoping to work on more stuff and hopefully, like I said, we get a second season out of this. That would be great. That would be great. And I you know what's very interesting is they actually watch this show. They watch this show, and so
that's what we like to hear.
They really liked all the comments and commentary that we had, and they liked it because we were trying to make this show better and fun, and they enjoyed us very, very much. Actually, they more than I was like, they were like, no, we get it. We enjoy you. Thank you so much for being honest. So, so I appreciated that. And, you know, and they obviously want the show to do well, too. They want a better and better show. And by the end of this season, I mean, I think even the third, even just this episode, I feel like we love this show a lot more than, you know.
It's progressing.
Definitely a great show. Great. So, love it.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. That was some really good insight. Yeah. So we, as we have mentioned, we see your comments on both YouTube and on iTunes. And so for those of you that have been engaging with us, I just want to give some special fan shout-outs. So a special shout-out to Live the Moment, Ronald Bush, John Hill, Jack Teets McGeets, Broly Dick Cumberbatch, and Stephanie Snidely. I hope I said that right. Thank you all for participating in our show on YouTube and for commenting and giving your opinions. And in fact, you guys all actually, some of you had some really good predictions for the coming episodes, and I think that's a great segue to get into all of our predictions of what we think is going to come on the show.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So I know earlier we talked about the Smith and how he's basically still very mysterious. And John Hill wrote in our comments saying, the blacksmith is the guy who was going to murder Talon, and the miracle was seeing the demon stop the arrow. And I actually like that theory. I've seen this particular theory going around a bit, that people think that he could possibly be the guy that was going to kill her and didn't. And so that's how he knows about her.
It's possible. It's very possible. I like it.
I think it's very possible because, again, like, and I mean, there could be another reason that they develop later on, but I feel like that makes so much sense because he keeps saying, I saw a miracle. It changed me. It made me want to learn more and educate myself on this. And I feel like that's a pretty darn good reason to, you know, want to learn more about this. If a demon comes out and, like, saves these people and, like, this is the big hoopla about the Black Bloods, you know?
Darn good reason.
Stephanie had a prediction about Talon's mom. She said, I think Talon's mother was a kind of magic worker of their village. Remember in the first episode when she showed up and broke up the fight between Talon and the human kids? Those kids looked truly scared and when they saw the mom. Also, when the mom was dying, she passed on some blue light to Talon. That must be the magic seed she has inside her now, which makes her able to call her monster and protector.
Interesting.
See, I had that suspicion, too, that there was a little bit more to Talon's mom, that she did have to kind of be some, like, you know, priestess or some summoner.
Yeah, you said that.
Because, you know, the guy in the first episode tells her to summon them, and it's just like, well, if you all have the same blood and if you're all special, like, why can't you summon her?
Yeah, why can't they all do it? And it's like, maybe it's relegated to Talon's specific bloodline.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it's just meant for, like, it's one purpose. One person's sole responsibility to have to kind of be the summoner. Maybe it's not a lavish role because maybe it takes a toll on them or it's a lot of responsibility because if something happens, you know, they're going to blame you. But I like this theory as well because I do think that there is more to Talon, that she is more, that her specific family line is more special than the rest of the Black Bloods because they do have to call on these Lucaris that we're learning more about. And so, yeah, I definitely agree there. And, like, now, obviously, she has to summon them and get him back in. In terms of, like, the next episode, we kind of see a highlight of Garrett and Talon fighting. And I think that'll be kind of interesting because it begs a question, like, who do you think will win? At the top of my head, I'm just going to think, like, Talon.
I think Garrett wins.
I don't know. I feel like Talon has been put in more situations.
I think even if Garrett loses in this situation, he's winning.
Yeah.
because it's a blossoming.
It's a
flirtation.
Yeah,
situationship that's happening between them two. Especially Talon isn't part of the nobility that he's so afraid of, or the commoners that he doesn't want to be a part of. So Talon's a great alternative. Mm-hmm. She's the gray area.
Yeah, definitely. I think those are all good things that we will come to see. Do you have any final thoughts?
Sure. I also think that Talon and the Smith will develop a father-daughter relationship until she finds out the truth, which could be that he was the one who murdered everyone but her. It could be something like that. I think that Talon and Garrett continue. I think Janzo keeps being smarter than everyone realizes. I think Talon protecting the mom with the arrow, that worm shot, is going to play in her favor later on. I think Withers is going to uncover some deep, dark secret about Gwyn. I think that Gwyn isn't as squeaky clean as we all think. I think that the general is going to make
a
power play.
Stuff.
And I think that Ambassador Dredd, who we saw at the end, is going to also come in and create a new power dynamic, because he's ruthless, more ruthless than anyone we've seen on the program so far. And him sending in his merry band of horsemen is going to create a lot of strife for the people in the outpost.
Yeah, all good things that we will see in due time. But for right now, that is all the time that we have for our show. Thank you so much for joining us. Tehran, where can the people find you on the internet?
You know what? Don't find me. I'm at the outpost.
Just chilling and
hiding. I am Tehran. I am Tehran all across the board.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at It's Me, Veronica V. And if any of you Outpost fans are also fans of anime, you can catch me Mondays covering the Attack on Titan after show at 7. And you can also catch me on the Hulu's Castle Rock after show Wednesdays at 7 as well. But until then, thank you again for joining our after show, and be sure to tune in next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.